Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How you doing?
I'm great. You know, it's raining out this morning.
Yeah.
Again.
Once again. Feast or famine here.
It's April 1st, and I almost thought it was a joke when I was driving to work this morning. I saw a Dunwoody police car.
That's right. It was April 1st, the launch, right?
Exactly. No April Fool's joke, though. Today's the big day. I'm very excited to have our guests in the studio with us this morning. From the city of Dunwoody, we have the mayor, Ken Wright. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And Denny Shortle, a councilman.
Morning. It's our pleasure.
And Warren Hemmaker, who is the city manager.
Thanks for having us.
Y'all, I am so excited, as I know a lot of our listeners are, about the city of Dunwoody. But let's just maybe walk us through the history, if you can, Ken. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I've lived in the Dunwoody area for 15 years. I know it's been talked about a long time. Maybe walk us through a little timeline and history.
You got it. Actually, back in 1971, February 17th, I remember this date because it was my second birthday, was the first time that in true form neighbors got together and within our city limits and said, you know, let's form a city of Dunwoody. So there was a group. They were actually based out of the Branches neighborhood within the city of Dunwoody. And they got together, and interesting enough, if you read, I've got all the historical documents, but if you read their documents, their reasonings for wanting to look at cityhood are very similar to the ones that modern-day cityhood advocates had stated they would want to form a city. So they went down to the legislature, and the process is, in order to try to vote to have a city, the residents need to vote yes or no, but the our legislators have to allow you to vote. So that's the first process and the biggest hurdle to...
How many years did it take to get the legislators to allow the vote?
Well, that was 1972, so...
Wow.
So I just turned 40, so it took some time.
Yeah.
That was my second birthday, and I just had my 40th. So there was a good time zone. You know, some of the misconceptions, you hear a lot about Sandy Springs and Mayor Galambos, and she certainly shepherded Sandy Springs' effort throughout the years. I think the difference between Sandy Springs and Dunwoody is I don't think we had a Mayor Galambos that, you know, she was probably 30 years old when she was trying to get Sandy Springs going, and she never gave up. And I think what happened within our community is after the door got shut on those group of residents that were trying to push it, it just kind of...
Went away for a while.
Exactly, went away.
But then when Sandy Springs became a city, then it seemed like that was the domino that triggered a whole avalanche now.
Yeah, absolutely right. That was the makeup of the legislators down under the Capitol changed so that they started allowing residents the right to vote. So that's something that had been really stopped for the past many decades, and that was the big critical change.
So the vote occurred in July, and that was very exciting when it was passed. Walk us through what's happened since then. Obviously, you've had to create a council, and you've got a city manager and all kinds of other things. Maybe walk us through a little bit of that.
Wow, it's been a whirlwind. I think I equate it to dog years for all of us. You know, it seems like it's been 25 years, but it's been eight or 9 months since we've been at it. So it's been a fantastic team effort. Of course, you know, the process is first the elections. You know, the residents voted 82%, give or take. The voters that went to the polls voted to incorporate. So that was a pretty strong mandate from the citizens within the boundaries. The next step, of course, would have been the elections. So people threw their hats in the ring to run. The elections took place, and then we had our city council formed. And from there, it was basically structuring the government. So it's more or less we had a very short time frame to build a, you know, what equates to a $17 million a year business in a matter of 3 months.
A few months, right.
Wow.
Right.
What was it like in that room when all the newly elected people were there and you realized that what the task that was in front of you? What was the feeling in the room?
You know, most of the folks that ran had been involved in some form or fashion over the years, so it wasn't just jumping in cold stone, like, my gosh, what's going on? So that was helpful, but make no mistake, everybody stood tall, but it was a Herculean task that needed to be performed. So we just chewed it off one bit at a time. I can't say enough about my fellow councilman, just very sensible, very businesslike, the way that we tackled each and every issue, just starting from the top. And the first decision was, how do we want to structure this government?
Mm-hmm.
And the decision was a typical government, which is, you hire within and build a bureaucracy, or contract out, which many of the other new cities had
right,
done.
Like the privatization?
Privatization.
And then which did you choose?
We actually chose a new model. We came up with a new model, which, if you look at the other cities, Sandy Springs, John Creek, and Milton, they went with they did private contractors, but they went with a firm that, I don't want to call it a middleman, that may be not the correct proper terminology, but a firm that basically pulls it all together for you. So they went into this firm and said, go do it, and then they'd go take care
right.
of everything from A to Z. What mm-hmm. we did is took that piece out of the equation, where we went and contracted. So the same, philosophically, the same setup, but instead of having that middle piece,
it was an elected official or an appointed
well,
person to be
we
there.
Actually just went to each of the vendors. So instead of having a middleman aggregator to do that for you,
mm-hmm.
we said, we're going to contract out. First, we're going to hire Warren. Warren runs our city day to day. Warren's an employee of the city. But then we're going to contract out each of the major pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so we let out the RFPs. We did those things, and so had a lot of various vendors that bid back to get the various pieces of our city.
So you vetted that, whereas in like Sandy Springs, they had somebody else do that, somebody they hired?
That's exactly right. In Sandy Springs and the other cities, the firm would come to the table and say, here's your price, and it's all inclusive. We're going to take care of everything for you, or to a limit.
Right.
Here it is, but you don't have
to. And you went a la carte.
Gosh, and now wonder y'all have been so busy. Now, Dennis, when I don't even know that I should say this, but when you were in diapers, Ken, Dennis, you were probably already active in Dunwoody, right?
No, I wasn't.
You were only five then.
Yeah, I was. Actually, I'm 2 years younger than Ken.
Oh, no.
But I actually was a Johnny come lately into the process.
Okay.
I've lived here for a little over 20 years, but last year in the legislature, a couple people drafted me in to go down and shake hands and talk to people down there when we were trying to get the right to vote,
mm-hmm.
Because it was a close thing in the legislature, and we'd had problems in the previous years, and we were able to get it through. And then after that, I was asked to be on the Dunwoody Yes Committee, and I showed up at the first meeting and was introduced as the co-chairman. I thought that was
wow.
interesting. So I was the co-chairman of Dunwoody Yes. We were a group of, and this is when I really got involved, we were a group of five voting members and two other members, and we planned the strategy on getting out the yes vote for the city of Dunwoody. We were the pack, if you will, to procure the yes vote for the city of Dunwoody. We did all the PR work. We wrote the articles in the paper. We had weekly meetings, and basically we planned the strategy. One of the biggest things we had was rallies, like we were big in the last year on the 4th of July parade. So that was our basic thing, and that's how I got involved in the whole process. And then I think the thing, people ask me why, and I said the real reason is because of the people. The people of Dunwoody are special people. They are really genuine, friendly, down-to-earth people. And I was very impressed. I've been impressed since I lived here, but when you went out and knocked on doors and started talking to them personally, it was even more impressive than it's ever been before.
And the community is so passionate, too. A population of, what, just under 40,000?
Give or take, it goes anywhere from 38 to 41,000 are the estimates. But right now, if you take the model, it's about 39.5 or something, but that's a good educated guess until the census comes out here in a couple of years. That's about where we are.
Now, when you were trying to persuade people to vote yes, what were you saying were the benefits of becoming a city?
I think there are probably about five issues that were the main benefits. And the number one thing was local decisions close to home. That was a motto that we had. And, you know, the county has been our governance for forever, if you will. But they're 30-some miles away, about 30 miles away. And there's no one lives, no one on that commission lives in Dunwoody. So bring the decisions closer to home. I think the another thing was keep the tax dollars, keep your tax dollars here in Dunwoody, and we'll spend them in Dunwoody. A third thing was we'll improve the services across the entire spectrum of the city. And I'm not talking about monumental improvements, but improvements. And then I think the last two keys are probably an intangibles that I think are the most important. And I think number one is attitude. When you call the city hall, and this is one of Warren's, Warren runs the city hall, is if, when you call the city hall, the attitude here in the city of Dunwoody that we portray and we want to make sure that all of our citizens understand is, what can we do to help you? Good morning. This is the city of Dunwoody. How may I help you? And I think that is so key to set the tone. And the last issue, I think the last thing is trust. Who do you trust? You know, do you trust someone that's governing you from afar? Or do you trust your neighbor, the person down the street that you've known for many years? Well, in my estimation, I think the all the citizens resoundedly answered that we trust our neighbors.
And what was the final tally when you voted?
It was about, Ken said it was 82%, give or take a slight there, of the citizens that voted in favor.
Now, have you heard why about 20% would say they didn't want it? What did they feel was a reason not to do it?
Well, I think there were reasons, and several reasons, and some of them, some of it might have been, you know, fear of change.
Sure.
I think that's always a thing. People resist change. But I think the thing that you would take from that is that even those, and I know some of them that voted against the city, I think today if you went over and asked them, I think they would give you a thumbs up, because I think they have seen what we have done. They have seen that we have been responsive, and we've been open, and I think it's very important that we continue to be that way. And, you know, other things, you know, there was a hardcore group, you know, that said, oh, you know, it's another layer of government. They're going to raise your taxes.
Right.
And I think those fears have been subsided by just the actions of Ken, the city council, and the city staff, all of us working together with one common purpose to serve the people and make the city of Dunwoody even a better place to live than what it was.
And Warren, you have over 10 years, gosh, like a decade of experience in the Atlanta government. I'd love to just hear your perspective. You're now at the City of Dunwoody. Tell us where you were before and maybe how you've been able to apply that knowledge to the current situation.
Okay. I started off my career with the City of Marietta, which is a city of about 65,000, as an assistant to the city manager, and have took my first job in 2003 with the City of Avondale Estates, which is one square mile and 2,000 residents.
So that was for practice? 2,000?
That was the training wheels?
They didn't see it that way. But and that was a fantastic experience because it was really hands-on. You didn't have a handful of trained professionals. It was a very low-budget operation, but we did a great job of really providing that hands-on service that those residents expected. So it was a great training ground for me to really learn the trade. And then I worked from there and took a job in Norcross, where I was for the last a little over two years. And that was a much bigger operation, and really kind of started to hone my skills. And then this opportunity came about, and actually happened to live in Dunwoody, and looked at it from a career perspective. And you got to say, you know, are you ever going to get a chance in your lifetime to come into an absolute blank slate and try and do the things you think are the best practices, and start up an operation kind of in your own image and how you'd like to see things done, have that opportunity, and just feel very lucky and fortunate that was chosen for the position, and it's been the most exciting opportunity I've ever had.
I understand you're missed by Norcross. You had a great reputation there. I think a lot of folks really miss you there, but we're very fortunate to have you in Dunwoody now. Walk our listeners through what are your responsibilities? I mean, city manager, what do you do?
That's a good question, and a lot of my friends still ask me that to this day. But
by the way, the show ends at 10:30, so you can condense it. Okay. I'm sure there's a lot.
You know, it's a from a traditional sense, it's City of Dunwoody is formed under what's called the council manager form of government. And what that means is that the citizens of the city elect a mayor and council to set the policy and the overall direction for the community, and they're held accountable by the voters to do that. The city council then appoints a professional city manager to come in and run the day-to-day operations. And what I basically do is two major functions. One is running the day-to-day operations and overseeing the department heads and supervising the different services that we provide, and then also providing advice and research for the city council to help them make the best decisions they can in their role as policymakers. So I think those are the two major responsibilities that a city manager has.
That's a lot. But you made it sound like it was so simple.
It's just a couple things.
Now, I understand you've been a little busy lately because April 1st was the date that your police force was put on the street, correct?
Yeah, and it's been probably the most exciting thing that we've had an opportunity to do. And it's also from a pace standpoint, has been a lot of fun. It was the fastest startup in the United States for a police department. Basically, we started December 17th. I finally got my police chief on board. After doing a nationwide search, we were able to hire a highly competent, experienced police chief from Marietta, Georgia, who is the deputy chief at the time, Billy Grogan. And then after we got him on board, we pulled him in a room and said, oh, by the way, you need to start a police department by April 1st.
Ouch.
So we picked him up off of the ground and wiped him off and said, okay, get to work. And he's hired an outstanding command staff that's really put that together and ordered, you know, 43 police cars, all of the guns, ammunition, gun belts, tasers, handcuffs, all of the detail things you wouldn't think of normally that would go into starting an operation. But when you start from nothing, there's an incredible amount that you have to get done. And I've just been very impressed in watching how professional they've been, the attitude. You'd think that they would be in a panic all day and stressed, but they're always smiling and just looking forward to the opportunity, similar to the way I looked at it when I took this job was, you know, you've got an opportunity to start a police department and do it the right way. And I think that we've got the leadership to be able to do that. And I think that from watching the officers be sworn in last night, and these are absolutely the cream of the crop of policemen, and to watch them be sworn in and get started at midnight last night really kind of sent a chill through us, and it's just a great accomplishment.
You know, I understand there were some hiccups along the way too, though. Who would think that the shortage of ammunition would throw a little wrench into the plan, and that they didn't have the ammunition to get the training going, right?
It was a struggle with the military operations that we have overseas. There's been a shortage of ammunition, but through innovation, they were able to find a vendor that would commit to holding enough training ammunition to get us started so we could qualify. And just so the bad guys understand, we do have a full assortment of guns and bullets.
Yeah, they're all loaded, no blanks. This is the real
right.
deal.
Yeah.
Now, have you, because this is a fairly recent phenomenon of having, you know, this cluster of cities occur just recently, are you getting help from the other people that are in charge in the other cities around, or is it kind of collaborative that you're all kind of in this experiment together?
It is. I think in general, the field from the traditionally run cities to the new models that have come out and with public-private partnerships and our new model, there's a real brotherhood in the field where we all work together and the advice is free. Some of it you get what you pay for, but for the most part, it's been very helpful. And we have had a lot of conversations with the other cities. Our model is different enough that at this point, we're starting to get calls from some of the other cities that have just formed coming to us
saying, to see how you're doing, to see if maybe they should change, right?
Absolutely. So it's you know, it's always an experiment, but I feel very confident that we've come up with a model that I think is going to be the future of the field.
That's excellent. A couple other questions. I know that Dunwoody has a strong tax base, and I know there are some citizens that might have been concerned that with the city of Dunwoody, it would raise their taxes. Can any of y'all speak to that?
Sure, I'll I'll take this one.
All right, Ken. Anything?
No new taxes.
Sure, I'm reading your lips.
Yes, yes.
In all honesty, if you look, and again, I think there's misconceptions with what the city of Dunwoody is and how we're made up, and some of the economics behind who we are, just from a demographics and a financial standpoint. If you look at our the city of Dunwoody and our tax digest, we're about 60-40, 60 residential, 40 commercial. And if you look at the DeKalb County as a whole, it's almost exactly mirrored. So, again, when we went through this process, you know, and by the way, these are numbers that none of us other than Warren thought we'd ever know. Why would I know the digest? But it's been a fun learning curve for all of us. But so this 60-40, we mirrored DeKalb County. So actually our commercial base and our residential mix is dead on. It's a good mix, yet it's even with the rest of the county. So there's no imbalance one way or another. As far as the tax increases, that kind of folds into what we're doing now. It's pretty complicated, and it could probably be a whole show in itself on how the taxes work, how our county works, and what we're getting back as a community. Again, one of the misconceptions that we've heard over and over and over, and actually still hear today and reading the papers, is that the mall and the sales taxes we're now going to get, and that is completely false. All of the sales taxes still flow to the county and to other parts where they go appropriately, a penny here and a penny there type of thing. So the city collects no sales taxes. Basically, what the city gets is a couple line items on everybody's tax bills that are meant to pay for the services we've now taken over.
So you're talking about Perimeter Mall.
Right? I'm talking about Perimeter Mall. Okay. For the taxes, okay. Right. So any sales tax, if you go to one of our local businesses, we don't get any of that 7% sales tax. The only thing the city gets is some of your property taxes, some of all of our property taxes we pay. So, you know, at least in my analogy, as I've always looked at it, you've got this small pot of money that we've all been paying on our, if you're a homeowner or a landowner, you've been paying on your annual tax bills. We're taking that money, and instead of it going to DeKalb County, and again, that money is specifically meant for, like, providing police services, providing road maintenance. That money is supposed to be specified for that anyhow in the county's budget. So that's now flowing to the city. So the way it should be looked at is that, you know, you've got this pot of money. It's just being controlled locally now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where it's going and you know how it's getting spent.
So you can service your residents just more efficiently than if it's part of a bigger county somewhere else and you're just getting a little small portion. Now, that little small portion, you guys are controlling right?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Of course, you could control that money less efficiently.
Sure.
We certainly don't have that feeling and thought, and we're a very conservative group and city. But I think as residents start seeing the rubber meets the road, and again, with the launch of our police service at 12 o'clock this morning, April 1st, that residents, again, will see a pretty dramatic impact using those exact same tax dollars that we've all been paying.
Now, what are the other things they're going to see with their eyes? Like that, obviously, you know, they're driving around today. They're going to see that with their eyes. Is there other things that they're going to see like that?
That's by far the most visible. You know, when you think of any municipality operations, most of it is not eye candy type mm-hmm. of stuff. You know, you don't usually go through a stoplight and think, oh yeah, that's neat. You know, that light's
right.
working or that light's.
But things like, you know, potholes or potholes. Things like, you know, maybe less graffiti or, you
Absolutely.
Know, those kind of things.
Absolutely. I think the second beyond police would be the road maintenance, pothole fixing type of activities. And as well as the planning that's being done now with future needs. Okay, what's out there where we need, whether it's a new stoplight or an intersection redone, those type of things that take some planning and process-oriented tasks, but if they never get done, then they'll never get done.
Sure.
If those initial things don't start happening, so all of those things are happening now. But at the end of the day, again, you just have to plan for them. You have to budget for them. You have to do it pretty methodically. But I would say that the biggest eye candy that folks can expect would be the pothole maintenance and road crews, actually seeing road crews out in the city taking care of business.
Are there any, like, parks or amphitheaters or anything like that on the horizon?
That's a whole nother show as well. we're going through
one thing at a time. One crisis at a time, right?
That when our bill passed the legislation, there was another bill that dealt with what's called transfer of assets, we'll call it, but basically transfer of parks and green space, and that bill did not pass the House. So we're negotiating with DeKalb County now on getting the parks. Officially, DeKalb County still owns the parks that are located mm-hmm. within our city and all the property.
So that's the next step, the next piece to take on.
That is ongoing.
Now, Danny, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs and are business owners. Why would someone want to own a business in Dunwoody?
I think, a couple of things. And I think when you look at the city of Dunwoody, you look at the small group, if you will. And the day after we became a city, I wrote the article for the Dunwoody Crier, and one of the items in that was, look to do business in Dunwoody first. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to create is a atmosphere of friendship. The Perimeter Mall, the PCID, if you will, a big portion of that is within the city of Dunwoody. We're meeting with them. We're meeting with the owners, the business owners. We're very open. And we're trying to create that atmosphere. Come to Dunwoody because Dunwoody is a business-friendly city. And I think that's that attitude that I spoke to earlier, I think that's the thing that prevails out there. I'd like to just add one thing on to what Ken said on the taxes, just to clarify that. There is no new tax here. The tax on your current tax bill says unincorporated DeKalb County. That will just be transferred to the city of Dunwoody. And that whole thing, aspect of that, is about 6%, 6.5% of your total tax bill comes to the city. Just to
of your property tax bill?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Just to clarify that to make sure, there is no new tax on your tax bill.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Warren, any final thoughts from you? We're running out of time here. I mean, we're excited about the city of Dunwoody. Anything you want our listeners to know? Anything to look for?
I think the take-home message is that we have just begun. All of what we've done in the past 3 months has been amazing, and I think we've set the foundation for success in the future. But there's a lot more to come, and I think that's what's exciting to me going forward is how do you sustain the successes that you've already had, and then how do you continue to raise the bar to make sure that Dunwoody becomes the premier city in Georgia that it clearly has the potential to become.
Now, where's City Hall in case somebody wants to come by and hang out with you guys?
City Hall is actually located, if you're familiar with the Dunwoody area, behind the Ravinia complex. It's Perimeter Center East is the actual location. So it sits behind. You wouldn't know it was there unless you drove back behind kind of the Park Place
right.
Mall, mm-hmm. right across
right by 285 in Ashford Dunwoody.
That's exactly right, right near 285 in Ashford Dunwoody.
Excellent. That's centrally located. That's good.
Yes.
I do have one final thought for you, Ken. Some people get paid by the city, Warren, and then there are volunteers and others that have small salaries. I understand that you have donated your salary this year. That's very admirable. Tell us a little bit about that and what your decision process was like in that. You're not making a bunch of money, but
it's
a lot of time you're putting into this. And I'd love to know just what was your thought process behind that?
My thought process, you're right. My salary is $16,000 a year and council is $12,000 a year. And my thought process was twofold. One, it was to kick off the city in the right direction. I felt being mayor and setting the stage and setting the standard that it would be good to kick it off just on a very positive note. And tied into that is basically the arts within a city. That's a very important component of a successful city. So I chose the local art house, the Stage Door Players, and donated the salary to them. And I knew it would give them, or I was hopeful it would give them a good boost, a good bit of attention, and it has. It's gotten some national pickup. They've gotten a lot more subscribers. So it's done you know, what my objective was is just to get awareness, not just for them, but obviously arts as a whole, and again, to get the city going in the right direction.
Wonderful. Gosh, thank you. Y'all, thank you so much for being with us today, for sharing your insight, and we hope that if folks have additional questions, they'll reach out to your website.
What is the website of the government?
It's www.dunwoodyga.gov.
And we'll have that on our website as well. Y'all, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll be looking forward to seeing the exciting changes in Dunwoody. And I don't know, I might have to be on my best behavior driving through Dunwoody now.
Now you do.
I'm going to feel really safe when I'm in Dunwoody,
right?
You will be safe.
You will be safe, but just watch your speed and certainly drive cautiously and be respectful of your fellow motorists, and you'll have no problems.
It's all good.
It is all good.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto. Lee, have a great week.
All right, bye.
Thank you.